Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be with you here on this Monday. It's Reaction Monday. Maybe an overreaction Monday in some ways, but we'll give it our best. Jacob Albrecht here alongside TJ Cleland. Glad to be with you. Max Power is producing. He's got the KFH hotline at 869-1240. You can also reach us online on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can leave us your video comments there. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, you can leave us voice messages, all kinds of ways to get in touch with the program as we take you back through the weekend and react to what we saw, including the Kansas City Chiefs 31-0 win over the Raiders. We asked how they could cover, 12.5, 13.5 points. That's how you just annihilate your opposition. We'll look around the rest of the NFL, what we saw this weekend, a couple of good games tonight on Monday Night Football will get you ready for as well. We almost have a World Series set, but not quite. We have a Game 7 in the ALCS tonight to see who goes on to take on the Dodgers. Joshua Briscoe joins us in the next hour, our Chiefs insider from the Chiefs Radio Network, helping us look back at the Raiders game and look forward now to the next one for the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's all out there in front of you. It's all what's on tap. Brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where it's patio season. Getting a little chillier, but it's still patio season. Smash a Yumpkin pumpkin on Delano's rooftop deck. Enjoy happy hour at WBC East newly remodeled patio, or grab a pizza outside shielded from the setting sun at WBC West. When you think patio, think Wichita Brewing Company pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yesterday, we finally had it. The perfect day. Nice and crispy air when you wake up. Nice and toasty a little bit when you get to noon. You can take off the sweatpants, keep the hoodie on. That's what I've been referencing. That's what everybody that's on my side has been referencing. And we finally had it yesterday. We're in that season, but we get it for like 5 days, it seems like. Today is going to be windy.
Nobody's,
it's not gonna be nice.
Nobody's on your side. Nobody wants the winter to come. Nobody's ready for cold weather. That's
Friday. I'm telling you, Friday night was like the definition of football weather.
That's fine, but and enjoy it. I don't have any problem with it. I enjoy it, but wishing it upon us is like wishing upon us the winter, and that's not going to be something any of us are looking forward to. My heater is not firing on at the house right now. Waking up and it's like, man, it's a little chilly in here. I pop up and just all the fun that the winter brings and getting sprinklers. So you're a homeowner now. You're going to find out. You're going to find out all the fun things you have to do and change and pay attention to and. There's nothing good that comes of it. But this has been really nice fall weather, and it looks like it will continue for a little while. So enjoy that. It does. Maybe it'll last a long time this year. It felt like fall yesterday because of all the football. That's for sure. It was a good day of football. Hope everybody made some money on their bets. I hit every part of that Chiefs game except the Raiders not showing up at all. Like nothing. I needed almost nothing out of Geno Smith, and he gave me less than nothing to complete a big one. But for the Chiefs, and we'll dig into this on the other side, it was predictable. As predictable as I think it could be, a spreading out of targets. I do think we can kind of see the pecking order a little bit in the wide receiver room and how that will work based on the amount of targets. I think we were, we were just about right on those and what we were guessing, how that would look and all the different things. But it's given us a pretty good look. And there'll be all kinds of things hurled around all the Monday morning water cooler shows today, including this one, on where the Chiefs stand after that kind of a performance. And it's hard because you don't want to overlook the fact that the Raiders are terrible. And that was an embarrassing effort by them. But at the same time, that's the Chiefs offense. And that's the Chiefs offense minus their left tackle. That's their Chiefs offense minus, at times, their all-pro right guard. I mean, my goodness, that thing is humming right now.
It was cooking, that's for sure. It seemed like every time you looked up at the TV, there's another chunk play breaking in front of you, and they're back in the red zone again. It's interesting. That's kind of the question that arises, and it's going to be what we're probably going to talk about all week long, is how bad are the Raiders? How much can you take away from this? Because you don't want to, overreact too much. But at the end of the day, a point that I brought up on Sports Sunday last night with our friend Jeffrey Parson back in the studio, we had the nostalgia episode yesterday. He's a Raiders guy. And so he made it known. He's like, listen, Chiefs fans, he's like, you might think that you're back, but the Raiders just suck. And I was like, okay, well, let me make the counterpoint here is that we've seen the Chiefs play down to every team in the NFL for the last 2 years. Like, they have this. This is the biggest blowout that they've had in, I believe, 4 years I looked at. Biggest point differential. So it's nice to finally see them take care of business in a game that they should take care of business in.
And the Raiders have a win at New England and a win against Tennessee. I honestly, and this is going to sound, I won't even say that because it is crazy. It's not crazy. You know what? It's not crazy. This is not a crazy thing to say. And I'll tell you why. The Raiders aren't that much worse than the Jaguars. They're not. You don't believe me? You don't believe me in that? Guess what the line is next week at Jags Raiders?
Jags 2.5.
Raiders are favored by 1.5.
That's ridiculous.
So, take that for what you will, but to me, what is the norm? What is not the norm? The Raiders, that was an embarrassing effort 100% from them yesterday. However, it's like the Jaguars loss was so bad. That was as bad a loss as I can remember because the Chiefs had to try so hard to lose it. They had to literally do everything wrong. Jags aren't that good. Look at what the Rams did to them yesterday. And so which is it then? Which is closer to the truth? The Jags Chiefs or the Raiders Chiefs? And I think that's what Chiefs fans will be thinking about. I'm going to tell you, and we'll dig into it next, I think the Chiefs are the best team in football. And we've been talking about that for 3 weeks now. Right after the Jags game, they bounce back with a big win. But it's more about we don't have a lot of questions about the organization, about the backbone. Like, we know the Chiefs. We know this team. We know all its key pieces. Its coaching staff hasn't really changed. They've got some new faces on the defense, which is, to me, still the biggest question of the season. They got better on the offensive line. What did we think was going to happen? Right now, they get a full cast of characters, and they're not going to win every game the rest of the season. I don't think they could, but they're the best team in football right now. And that's convince me otherwise.
I think that the questions going into the season that made you think that maybe it wouldn't be is the fact that, they lost a Joe Tooney. They lost some pieces on the defense, and they didn't really they didn't really get better anywhere. That was a point that Brandon Zinner and I brought up a bunch, is the fact of like the Chiefs have just made the decision to just basically say like, yeah, we're just going to run it back. Like, we're going to spend all of our money to retain this team and go back out there. And we're like, I mean, this is a team that just like snuck its way into wins week in and week out and then got blown out in the Super Bowl. And then you say, yeah, I mean, they're good enough. They're good enough to do it, which it's a risk, but it seems like it's going to be right. Like I say that there's
was,
a little,
you know,
bit
that
of
was
the,
Tommy's point too. And I didn't agree with it then. I certainly don't now. I'll tell you why, but we'll dig into this. Are they the best team? We'll go deep into the Raiders game. We'll get you all covered, Chiefs fans. And we'll talk about the injuries now that are a little bit concerning. For a variety of reasons. That's all coming on Sports Daily here on this Reaction Monday. It's all Brockton Cleveland. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. Got some Halloween events coming up in the next few days. A big Halloween spectacular. Just had some pumpkin painting as the golf season winds down because TJ wants the weather to come and change so quickly. You can still get out there and play 36 holes of golf, though. I'm going to try to get 9 in, TJ, at one point this week. This time of year gets harder, man. We're just chasing the kids everywhere. But I'm going to try to get out there for 9 quick holes. We're signed up for the Halloween events. Great family atmosphere. Give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you. Ask them about all the different kinds of memberships. There are more than just golf memberships. So ask them about them and tell them we sent you here. All right, TJ. Chiefs Raiders. We'll start there, and then we'll get to bigger picture stuff with the Chiefs. 31-0 winners. They hold the Raiders under 100 yards of offense. They pull the starters into the fourth quarter, or it would have been even worse. For your overs, betters, I'll raise my hand. That was annoying. The Raiders' lack of effort was annoying. I cannot believe they were so pathetic offensively, but they were. They are, they're just not playing well right now at all. And the Chiefs dominate them. And that's not the reason I think people are so optimistic about the Chiefs, but you get all the fun things. You get a fake fourth down, angry, you know, conversion by Patrick Mahomes. You get the no-look pass to Rice. You get the great image of Mahomes and Kelce helping a teammate off on each side of a shoulder. Like, it was all there. Like, that was all vintage. Chiefs are having a blast. They're so great. All of it's there. And yeah, look, the Raiders' effort yesterday had something to do with it. But it was, it's been a while since we've seen the Chiefs in that mode. In the, they're not only kicking your tail up and down the field, they're having so much fun doing it mode. Even with all the Super Bowls they've won and everything else, that was as comfortable as we've seen them look in a very long time.
Yeah, that's the thing that I was saying earlier is the fact that, you know, the Chiefs have been the best team in football for years now, and they just don't do this to teams. Like, the last time that there was something comparable to this, it was the Bears game a couple of years ago, and still that was like a 25-point game or something of that nature like that. This just doesn't happen. Like, I think it's happened like one time in Mahomes' career, I think, if I read it right, something like that, that they don't blow teams out like this. It's the first shutout since 2016. And so it's unheard of for the Chiefs to put it all together at one time. I don't want to say that, but just to just keep piling on in all facets of the game. Like, the stats from this game that we'll get into here is from the Raiders side is unheard of in an NFL game, I feel like. 95 total yards. They had the same number of plays as the Chiefs had first downs yesterday. 30 plays, and the Chiefs had 30 first downs. The Chiefs had the ball for 42 minutes of game time, and that wasn't a let's just run the ball and play keep away from them. That was basically, I mean, they had possessions, and they just kept going three and out. Like, it's unreal how bad the Raiders played in that game.
Dominating games like that don't happen. They just don't happen that often in the NFL. Yeah. We saw two of them yesterday. The Rams did it to the Jaguars. The Chiefs did it. The Browns did it to some degree. So, I mean, you see them, but the NFL, right, its reputation is built on covers. And like, oh, man, how did they even get that remotely close into what we saw out of the Broncos and the Bears? 33 fourth quarter points from the Broncos. We'll get into that later. That's unusual. So for me, like, on this, as we're reacting to it, I don't want to overreact to the performance against the Raiders necessarily. It was a great game. The offense looked great. The defense looked great. I want to try to pull out of that what's real and what moves forward with the team. The defense, I keep waiting for them to show a little bit of vulnerability, but the reality is they're playing really well. They give up 17 points to one of the best offenses football in Detroit. They blank the Raiders. You know, they did a pretty good job against Baltimore while Lamar Jackson was in the game. They did a good job against Philadelphia. So it's not like they're playing nothings on offense. Like, they've played some good offenses, and in some cases, great offenses. So I do think the defense is probably, for me, and based on like what I was looking at coming into this season, defense is better than I thought it would be. The offense is now to the point where I thought they'd be. I thought this would be the best offense in football. I genuinely and legitimately do not know how teams are going to stop this offense if they can protect. There's our answer on Sunday. We don't know what's going on with Josh Simmons. Trey Smith was in and out of the game, and Jawan Taylor is nicked up. That is a problem. Now the depth is being tested. We saw a trick play ruined. No, I'm not trying to just like blame Caliendo, but one of your starters is out, a backup has to come in, and they ended up getting the touchdown anyway, so it didn't matter. But at the moment, in a tight game, like, that's a impactful thing that can happen. So we do have to watch that. We have to watch the offensive line now and what it's going to look like for the Chiefs as they get ready to try to get to that bye week, I think, and try to resettle that. Washington's all kinds of banged up. Who knows if Jaden Daniels will play Monday night. So they get, you know, they may get the hook there. And then it's at Buffalo. But other than a few questions now on the offensive line because of injury, I mean, 4-3, like, Chiefs fans couldn't have hoped for more than this with the way things settled out to start the year with Worthy. Mm-hmm. Second, Worthy ran into a brick wall of Travis Kelce, 4-3 with a team that has the best point differential in football. I mean, come on, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into the big picture stuff more, but one of my favorite stats right now is the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs and the Carolina Panthers have the same record right now at 4-3. So make your conclusions from that of what you will, but it's just funny that
aren't the conclusions this year in the NFL, like, honestly, like, records don't mean a whole lot at this point in 7 weeks in when you're power ranking. If you're legitimately power ranking the NFL and you're talking, like, are you even looking at the records? If you off the top of your head, we're trying to say, all right, let me rank the NFL teams here in who I think are the best teams. Because is it Indianapolis, New England, no, it's not. Like, we got to use our critical thinking skills.
I mean, it's not based on the record, but we're in the point of the season where, I mean, it matters 100%.
Sure,
I think
it matters.
If you're power ranking in a week.
Who's the best team, not who has the best record, going to be the one seed. Who's the best team?
I agree, but I think at this point in the season, the fact that the Colts have kept doing what they're doing, like, you wouldn't have said that in week two. Now you're like, damn, like, these guys are good.
They look good. They look good, yeah. And I keep doubting them, and they just keep on doing it. It's, you know, PTSD perhaps with Daniel Jones, and the Chargers have all kinds of injuries. But yeah, the Colts are 6-1. Like, this is the NFL. That's hard to do. Have wins, including in that 6-1. I will caution you. The Dolphins, the Titans, the Raiders, the Cardinals, the very banged up Chargers. They'll play the Titans again. Let's see what happens when they go to Arrowhead. The Chiefs will be favored by 7 points in that game, probably.
It's true. I'll ask you this. Well, we're still talking about this game. This is the first time we've seen all three of the receivers back together. First time Mahomes had all three of them to throw to. They took a picture pregame, all the wide receivers standing in the end zone, kind of recreated the old Legion of Zoom picture that went super viral. Is this the best group that we've seen since then, and where do they stack up after one game if you want to overreact?
I think it's okay to react to. I don't think it's an overreaction. If they're all healthy and the line is there, this is a better group than this is the best group Mahomes ever had. Like, the Legion of Zoom was just Tyreek Hill's greatness.
Yeah.
Right. And Kelce, obviously, in his prime. It was prime Kelce, was prime Tyreek Hill. You're talking about Hall of Fame players there. So the difference between that and Rice, Worthy, right? Kelce, this version of him, Hollywood, who is only targeted four times. Like, this collective group is the best that they've had, for sure. They're finding ways to incorporate Breshad Smith. He's almost become a receiver in the group. They have probably 6 to 7 legitimate pass-catching options, and they can run 5 of those guys out there basically on every play. With a good offensive line, it's the best group they've had. And it was that's not a surprise. That was the thought, but going into the season, right? Like, before, you know, we didn't know on Rice. Think back to before we got the Rice suspension news, right? And we were like, well, maybe, you know, maybe who knows what happened. Like, Rice, Worthy, Kelce, Hollywood was going to already be great. Then you say, okay, well, let me also add in Tyquan Thornton, who's a, you know, don't forget, he was a pretty high draft asset that flashed. And now all of a sudden he is a very, very real deep threat. Juju is effective still, believe it or not. And they're finding a way to work in some of the young guys. Like, it's out of control. It's out of control. And what's so crazy about it is it was none of that 3-4 weeks ago. Rice was suspended. Worthy was hurt. You know, the rookies weren't quite there yet. Like, it changes with the health. But if you're asking me if I would go back to, like, the 2020 wide receiver room or we'll call it pass catching room, or this, I'll take this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's just so wild to think about the fact that you brought up in the preseason, you know, before the suspension news even came down at all, that there really wasn't anything known about what this team was going to be. And it's for the matter that we've never seen all together still. Nobody really understood what it was going to be like, but it was probably going to be pretty good. But I don't think anybody expected the level that the hype around it that it is now. And I think that it was when Worthy went down, and then you saw how bad it was without Worthy, and then he came back, and then you saw, like, oh, that's going to make a big difference. And then it's like, well, you see another guy on the way. Like, I think that was the turning point, Ravens game, that everybody was like, this might be something.
Even when Worthy went down, we thought it was going to be bad. But then the offensive line was playing really good, and it wasn't as bad as we feared. Mahomes was still kind of bad. Mahomes was still throwing. Mahomes was still having good games. It was just like this goes back to the point you brought up right before the last break of like, why just run it back if it wasn't good enough last year? And what Tommy and I just had that conversation literally for the entire summer. And my whole point has been, because there was one glaring deficiency on the team, like, that was it, right? So it was running back everything that was good, which was everything else, and trying to solve that one issue. And they did. Now, we'll see about the injuries to the offensive line. But I don't, like, of course, we don't remember all the specifics of too far back. But, like, I can't remember a really good team being so bad in one particular area that it just, bombed everything else that was happening, like the offensive line was last year for the Chiefs as a pass blocking unit. It was so bad.
This just shows you too how bad it was. Like, it's the same team, like, minus a couple pieces, adding back a couple pieces. Like, imagine like DeAndre Hopkins back last year. Obviously, he's an old man now and everything like that, but like, we didn't see anything from him because the offense sucked, because the offensive line was really bad last year. Like, it's crazy the correlation where, like, you could just pull a Chiefs play, put on the film, and it's like, if Mahomes has 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket, like, something good will happen. Like, that's such an upward correlation. Every single time it feels like you've got room to, like, float around in there. Somebody's going to be open, and he's going to make the pass.
And that's what I mean. Like, I can't remember a time where one flaw like that was so – I mean, it happens to – it happened to the Bengals with Burrow. It happened to Ben Roethlisberger in those years. Like, if you can't pass block, you can't pass. And even as great as Mahomes is – and honestly, like, the flaws of it have brought out some other things. It's brought out his confidence to be a runner, I think, from how much he had to run for his life last year. That's become a weapon and everything. And when you package all of that stuff together, him being a threat as a runner, Pacheco and Hunt both healthy. And listen, not everybody's going to stay healthy either, by the way. I mean, they're not right now. They lost two, they're down three offensive linemen, potentially right now, starting offensive linemen. So you still have, it's still the NFL. And it's why it gets so week to week, is because there are so many injuries. And you still have to be able to, you know, battle through those injuries. I can tell you right now, if Simmons and Taylor and Smith were all to be out of that game against the Commanders, all bets are off. Like, who knows what's going to happen at that point? So, like, you can't count on anything in this league, but I think what Chiefs fans can probably count on, and at least what my, you know, eyes are telling me, is that a healthy version of this offense is almost unstoppable. And we don't know how often they're going to get a healthy version of this offense, but everything should be get to the postseason with this offense intact. And let's just continue to watch Steve Spagnuolo work his magic, work in these new pieces, massage guys into larger roles, and see what this defensive line can become, which also had an injury yesterday that we will need to watch for. Norman Lott also left the game. So we got to watch these injuries, but it can turn upside down on you in a week if you're in the NFL, and that happens. But what we saw yesterday, I think, reestablishes what can be if this offense can make it into the postseason in one piece. They are going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, I agree. I it seems like the recipes in front of us, it's pretty glaringly evident of what they succeed at, and when they don't do well, it's what they, you know, struggle with. I think that the biggest questions that you have is about the defense, but fact of the matter is, as we said, you know, they ran basically everybody back. Like, the biggest pieces that they lost on defense is Justin Reed, which is a hurtful piece, but, you know, he was probably – but in the same breath, I mean, he was probably the fifth best player on the defense. Maybe the
well,
sixth.
He's just he. They had some. They had other options.
Yeah. So
as great as he like, is,
there's just younger guys that are stepping up in roles. And as we've said, I mean, they've played well. Like, I don't think that they're gonna. I don't think it's going to be, speaking of the Legion of Zoom, the defense that we saw back then, when you're going to have to score 40 points to win a game. Like, they no, are going to be – they'll be a top-half defense. They're not going to be the best defense in football.
That's the goal, right? That's the goal. If they can be a top-half defense, I agree. I don't – they're not going to be the best defense, but top-half should be the – that should be the target. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, I agree. I think that it's laid out in front of them. This next 2-week stretch is going to be really interesting. Jaden Daniels, I'm not sure what the status is on that. Speaking of that, our buddy Dylan Domang in the newsroom used to cover LSU, bought a ticket to Monday Night Football to go watch Jaden Daniels. Mm.
It's a hamstring. He'll have to battle through it. They're kind of up against it on their playoff hopes. Young guy, he's already had to miss time this year. Man, that's going to be tough. Hamstrings suck. Hamstrings are really hard to come back from. I want to see him play. I don't want the Chiefs to play Marcus Mariota. I know Chief fans will just want the win, but like, I want to see Jaden Daniels play on Monday Night Football against the Chiefs.
I agree. Make it feel bigger.
Let's go. Let's bring that on. All right, TJ, let's look around the rest of the NFL yesterday. I think for us around here, the most annoying outcome is the Broncos game, where they score 33 fourth quarter points. The Giants kicker misses 2 extra points. Agonizing loss for the Giants. I just like all that momentum they had. I'll be curious to see if they can continue it after a loss like that. But it means Denver goes to 5-2 instead of 4-3. They would have been tied. I still like good for them for the comeback, but man, I don't think they're close to as good as the Chiefs are. But they found a way to win that game. Goodness gracious. That's as crazy a one. I haven't read up on that outcome or anything. Have we ever seen that kind of thing?
That might be the most points ever in a fourth quarter. That's crazy.
Just doesn't even make any sense how that's even possible. But they do it. And so they still lead in the AFC West. You know, we were talking about power ranking right now, the teams in the NFL. Indianapolis has the best point differential, 92 points. And then it's the Chiefs and the AFC at 62. I do think that's a thing to look out for, but I don't think it's everything, because a 31-0 win for the Chiefs throws that number a little bit. Especially when it's against the Raiders. But Detroit's up there. Green Bay is up there. The Rams and Seattle are both up there. We'll see Seattle take on one of the top defenses in football tonight. We'll see if that holds true. But if we're looking at it and trying to decipher, I thought that the 49ers last night, TJ, it's a really impressive win for them. They're missing everybody. Like, they're down so many key players.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. We've talked about it multiple times on the show. It's just, it doesn't matter who they roll out there. They could start Adrian Martinez, and they find ways to win games. And once again, crazy, man, I mean, they got Kittle back, but everybody else is still out. They beat a Falcons team that we just saw beat the Bills, and it seemed like they were going to be a pretty legit team in the NFC. It's like, man, 49ers are going to be good. Like, and when they get healthier, they're going to be – and it doesn't really matter who they get on the field. They're going to be a playoff team, it seems like.
And so that, you know, that's a part of the reason, like, record, it matters obviously in seeding, but I don't think it matters as much. It's not the only indicator when we're trying to decipher, like, who are the best teams, right? We have to sort through that stuff to go and find it. And eventually those records, like, that stuff will begin to separate. And I think it is to some degree now, 7 weeks in, but like Jacksonville, it's a good example, and I hate piling on them all the time. Jacksonville is not that good, but they were 4-2 going into last week. They're 4-3 with a negative point differential. They shouldn't have beat the Chiefs. That was just an absolutely outrageous outcome. And then you have teams like, let's find an example going the other direction. who, you know, maybe it's Dallas or Carolina fits the bill, I think, of a team that's not actually that good, right? The Rams in Seattle. But what we're seeing as you try, like, now it's starting to separate a little bit. You know, these teams that we think were going to be good are kind of winning some games. Is Cincinnati really as bad as 3-4 the way we saw Flacco play?
That's a very interesting conversation. That's how much you trust Joe Flacco right now with that team.
I mean, you trust him more than Browning, right?
You do. I mean, you still got what, 7 weeks till Burrow gets back?
Yeah, totally. The Bears win again. The Bears are 4-2. Do you trust the Bears? I don't think so. Probably not, right? The Cardinals are 2-5 on a 5-game losing streak with Jacoby Brissett. Their point differential right now, TJ, is 1. Are the Cardinals really as bad as 2-5? No, they're not. So, like, it's not all record, and this conversation steers us back to the Chiefs, who are 4-3. It is totally possible for the best team in football to be 4-3, and I think that's what the Chiefs are. We'll find out, though, with these offensive line injuries, if they can hold through it. And that is, man, I just, you want to talk about, like, all the air out of the balloon. All the air out of the balloon yesterday could come with those offensive linemen. It could. Like, that is a problem, because that was the thing that they've solved in the offseason to get to this point. They got healthy on the line. They got better on the line. They got more talented on the line. And they did it despite losing maybe their most talented offensive lineman in Joe Tooney. It was a really nice job. We'll see this week what happens with Josh Simmons. We still have no clue what's happening there. Caliendo is serviceable. We know that. We've known that for a long time. So Trey Smith, you're like, okay, they probably won't be able to run the ball as well. But Caliendo is serviceable there. And then Jawan Taylor, and I'm glad they brought this up on the broadcast yesterday, Romo and Jim Nance. Like, if Jawan Taylor didn't have all the penalties and the mistakes, he grades out pretty well. Like, he does a pretty good job other than those mistake plays. So he's not just, like, easily replaceable. He would be if you had Jalen Moore not having to start at left tackle, right? You could slide him over. You wouldn't worry about it. But right now they don't have that if he were to miss time. You mean down two tackles now?
Yeah, that's the question. It's going to be interesting of how big of a deal it is with those injuries. You know, Trey Smith is obviously the one that I think I might worry about the most. But again, he's a guard and not the tackle. I think tackle is obviously a huge part.
The only thing, because Trey Smith's so good, but we know Caliendo can play meaningful snaps and they can do what they need to do. You're down potentially your two starting tackles. Maybe it's PTSD for me. But all I can think back to is last year and, like, oh no. Like, are you kidding me? We get one week of this, and now we have it. Now we have the same issues we had a year ago.
That would be the most Chiefs thing to happen.
But they're also built now on an offense. I mean, I bet you if we went back and watched plays, I cannot imagine that Mahomes didn't have the ball out of his hand in under, I'm going to make up a number here because I don't chart this kind of stuff, 2 seconds, 80% of the time.
Like, you're saying he had it longer than 2 seconds every time?
No. Like, less? 1-2 throw on his drop back. Like, he never holds the ball anymore unless he takes off and runs. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't think I agree with that. I think that that's the part that I was bringing up earlier, is the fact that he's got the line now. I think that that's what he thrives on so well, is that he can float around and say, nope, second option, third option.
But he's not. But he's not needing. I don't think he's needing to get that far.
He's not needing to. I think that with the weapons that he has, he doesn't need to do that. But I think that he still does it, and I think that that's where they find a bunch of success. Like, I mean, yesterday.
You think he did it a lot yesterday?
I don't know if he did it a lot, but every time he did it, there was a ton of, like, I think, like, the 44-yard pickup for Kelsey in that first drive. He floated around for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, that was one.
And then
basically
every chunk play, it feels like, is that's what it comes from.
But their offense this year, and this is where, like, last year they had, you know, the injuries, they couldn't keep the wide receivers, and they had the bad offensive line. This year, They had the offensive line. They didn't have all the wide receivers. Now maybe they have all the wide receivers, but they won't have all the offensive line. I think that they can design it. I think my point is they can still be an effective offense because if all these guys are healthy, because he was able yesterday to get rid of the ball so fast. Like there's not time for a pass rush. Like there's not time for any team to get a pass rush when you can get rid of the ball that quick. And that's the beauty of Rice and Worthy together more than, you know, I know Hollywood Brown is been great and fun and everything. And Thornton's been this deep threat, but it's Rice, Worthy and Kelsey, all three as that quick option that is going to at least help if they are down some offensive linemen. Like Rice is a run after catch guy. They design things up, it seems like, for Worthy more than other players. And Kelsey is still all reliable. It's hard to believe. Did you see, like, how many targets? I don't know if you're looking at a box score right now, so don't cheat.
No.
How many targets do you think Travis Kelsey had yesterday?
Five.
Three. Caught all three. Didn't need him. And that was kind of what we thought, right, at the beginning of the season. Is Kelsey, like, he's going to be in better shape. He's going to be better equipped to be fresh and everything in the postseason because they don't need to throw to him. Now, my thought in the offseason, and I kind of liked Kelsey as like a fantasy player this year, is, man, he's just going to run wide ass open a lot in this offense. And that's like that chunk play yesterday. Because what are you going to do if you're the defense? If that's Rice or Worthy catching that same ball Kelsey caught on the chunk play, they're going to house it. Right. Because they're not 40 years old or he's not that old, but 36, 37 years old. They'll take that to the house. So the defenses can't let that happen. And eventually, yeah, Kelsey's going to work his way into some really wide open spaces. Shout out to the Dixie Chicks and the just chicks. Like what?
The Chicks. They're not the Dixie Chicks anymore.
They're not the Dixie Chicks anymore.
Come on. Yeah, that changed like 5 years ago.
Oh, well, they haven't been. I love that band, whatever they're called, but they haven't been that relevant in that long anyway. So I guess that doesn't surprise. I think I kind of remember that now. Whatever. Shout out to that song. Just like he's going to do that in this offense if they're all there. Rice, speaking of the targets, Rice had 10 of them. So that answers that question that everybody was asking. How quickly do they get back into him being the target monster? The answer is immediately. Because he commanded the football yesterday. Worthy had four. Now, I will say this, just like I said last week, I think they are protecting Worthy a little bit because of his ankle. And so I don't think it'll be 10 to 4 every week. I think it may be more like 8 to 5 or 6. I think Worthy will be targeted a little bit more, but I think they have the luxury of and they are protecting him from those injuries a little bit right now. Hollywood. You know how many Hollywood four targets? That's probably going to be about right. You know, he had the touchdown. I was surprised to see Juju targeted as much as he was. And they took two shots to Thornton, which to me makes sense. I'd be taking about two shots a game to him.
Yeah. So that's the biggest question that I've had, you know, since yesterday. You know, I talked about it last night. I'll ask Josh Briscoe this next hour as well, is the fact of like, this was the question that everybody was wondering what it was going to look like when Rashee Rice came back. Who is number one? Who is he like by far number one in targets every week though? That's the question. Like, is there going to be weeks where Worthy gets more targets?
He's the most talented guy.
He is, but like, I mean, Xavier Worthy's a number one, like he'd be a number one wide receiver.
Worthy is great. Worthy, before he like took the Rice role last year, it took him some time. I think Rice is like a top 10 or 15 talent receiver in the NFL.
I agree. I think Worthy's top 20.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. And I love Worthy. I don't think he's the kind of weapon that Rice is. He doesn't have the same size and he's hurt right now. So it's hard to say. They're going to protect him a little bit. But yeah, we can get into that in the next hour. We'll have Josh Briscoe in to continue to discuss. We'll continue to look around the rest of the NFL. Sunflower Showdowns this week as well. It's all coming for you in another hour of Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.